Okay, so we are now on the air. We are going to continue to speak from the Gospel of Mark. We have done probably about 70% of the book. I doubt it that we will be done by Christmas. But probably at some point, maybe in January. We are going to deal with a passage today that we find in chapter 12, verses 1 to 12. So Mark 12, 1 to 12. And before we go there, we just want to give you a brief recall or a brief repetition here. Remember how Jesus returned to Jerusalem for 3 or maybe 3.5 years. He had a ministry. It doesn't mean that Jesus was passive the other 30 years of his life. But after his baptism, he began what we call the public ministry. Official ministry. And what we can say about that is that, of course, the previous 30 years were preparation. It's an interesting study, if you are up to it sometime, to take a look at some of these great people in the Bible. How much of their time was actually how much of their time was preparation? And how much of their time was actually ministry? I think you will be surprised. So sometimes we think about our lives. Oh, I haven't spoken to one soul for a long time. I haven't had an opportunity to do anything for God. Or maybe that's true. But it could also be so that God is preparing us for something. And, you know, there is a story, I didn't mean to say this, but I'm saying it anyways. There was these two men. One young and one older. And they decided they were lumberjacks. They were cutting wood. And they decided to have a competition. And of course the young man said, well, this is going to be an easy thing. This older guy will not have a chance. So he grabbed his axe and he started to cut the trees. Worked hard. And not only, you know, the older guy was not only older, but it seems like he didn't work very hard. Half of the time it was just sitting around. And then when they were done, because they were given a time frame, the older guy had won. He actually cut more trees than the younger guy. And the young man was really frustrated and said, how come? I'm stronger than you, and you were sitting down half of the time. And then the older guy said, well, when I was sitting down, I was sharpening my axe. And you were working with the dull axe. And that's the difference. So I didn't plan to say that. But preparation
Но подготовка-то
is very important.
И много важно.
And if we prepare properly,
если подготовим добре,
whatever we do,
what we do
will be so much more effective.
Ще бъде много по-ефектно.
So, just keep that in mind.
Просто мислете за това, което казвам.
So, let's look at this thing now.
Нека да погледнем това, което казвам.
That Jesus, having been prepared for 30 years,
Исус беше подготвен,
now had his public ministry.
Сега имаше служението.
He was all over Israel and the region. And now he returned to Jerusalem. And remember how he entered triumphantly? He was riding on a colt, which is a young donkey basically. And he was really well received. Because the people loved him. For his ministry. He preached grace. He healed the sick. He had good news for people. And this is what we call Palm Sunday. It was just basically 5 days before he was going to be crucified. Those 5 days that are now ahead of him is basically covered here in, well, the last 4 or 5 chapters. So time-wise, they are given, or space-wise, they are given a lot of, that period of time is giving a lot of space. And remember that the following Monday, he cursed the fig tree. We said that was a picture of Israel being cursed. They had their religious life, but there were no fruit. That judgment was not forever, but it was a temporal setting apart. And then the same day, he went into the temple and he cleansed the temple. And he was very radical. He made a whip. He turned over the tables. He was really what we call righteous indignation, meaning he was angry in a holy way. The following day, that will be Tuesday then, he returned to the temple once again. Because every evening he returned to Bethany. Bethany was a small village, maybe 1 or 2 kilometers outside of Jerusalem. And now he came in for the third time. And immediately the religious leaders confronted him. They had a question. They said, what authority, who has given you this authority to do these things? And remember how Jesus did not answer their question. He asked the question. He said, what do you think about John the Baptist's ministry? And it was, in a sense, it was a trick question. Because if they would have said, yeah, we believed his ministry, or believed it, well, I said, well, okay, then you should believe in me too. Because he was a forerunner.
Mm-hmm.
So they could not answer that. Plus that they didn't believe in him. But they could not say either that, oh, it was for man. Because the people regarded him as a prophet. So you couldn't really separate the ministry of John the Baptist and the ministry of Jesus. So they said, well, we don't know. But of course they knew. But they said, we don't know. I said, well, then I don't answer you either. So even though they claimed to be ignorant, they were not ignorant. And that kind of answer that they gave, it actually reveals that they rejected him. They rejected him as the Messiah of Israel. So that brings us to today's message. And I call that the parable of the vineyard. The parable of the vineyard. Now, he told them this parable for a reason. It was a direct result of their rejection. In those days, in that part of the world, remember, it was an occupied area. The Romans were ruling and reigning. So, in other words, there were many foreigners in the area. And they owned land. And sometimes they had these vineyards. And what they did was that they rented it out. I don't know if you know the word leaseholder, but it's like, it was like a farmer who took care of the place. And then the owner would maybe come, let's say, once a year. Probably during harvest time, or they would send some type of a representative, and they would be given a portion of the harvest. They would have agreed beforehand that you can run this farm or this vineyard, you can cultivate it, and then once a year you will give us this much, well, money or part of the crop. So it was like a business deal. And now, of course, what happens sometimes, like it's very common among us people. We say one thing, but we do something else. So we agree about something, then we change our minds. So maybe when these people came, they say, oh, we want more. No, you said this. Or maybe the other way around. Are we going to keep more? So, it wasn't maybe so uncommon that there were clashes between these leaseholders and these representatives of the landowner. So, what happened here is like we get into the text. And my first point here is what I call an unbelievable revelation. An unbelievable revelation. And let's read verse 1. Then he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a place for the vat, and built a tower, and he leased it to the vine dressers and went into a far country.
И започна им говори с притча. Един човек насади лозе, огради го с плет, изкопа лин и се гради кура, и го даде под наем на лозари и отиде в чужбина.
So this story is really taken straight from Isaiah chapter 5.
От Исаия глава 5 е взето.
In Isaiah chapter 5, Israel is likened unto a vineyard. So in this parable, God is the landowner, and the religious leaders are the ones cultivating the ground. And we can see here how he actually provided everything that they needed in order for this place to be fruitful. And in the same way, God provided for Israel everything that they needed. They were given the promises. They were given the prophets. They were given the scriptures. The temple. The sacrificial system. They were given everything they needed. So really, they had every possible opportunity to know him. And so we could say about this thing that God was the righteous owner. He had a plan for the nation. The nation of Israel, which was likened unto a vineyard. In Isaiah 42 and verse 6, it says that God made a covenant with them. And then it says also that he made them to be a light to the Gentiles. So when God is blessing us, it's always with a purpose. It doesn't matter if it's on an individual level, if it's pertaining to the church, or if it's pertaining to a nation, but God had a plan. He chose Abraham. Not that Abraham would sit somewhere in the corner and enjoy himself. But he wanted his blessing to flow through him. And through the nation of Israel. And we read about that in Genesis 12. So this was an unbelievable revelation. Israel, you've been given so much light. I have provided everything imaginable. You have a great responsibility. Don't forfeit it. Don't give it up. Yeah. And that brings us to the next portion here. And I call that an unkind response. An unkind response. Verses 2-8. So this is how these workers responded. Now at vintage time, he sent the servant to the vine dressers that he might receive some of the fruit of the vineyard from the vine dressers.
И по време на плода изпрати до лозарите един слуга, за да прибере от лозарите плода на лозето.
And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed.
А те го хванаха, биха го и го отпратиха празен.
Again he sent them another servant, and at him they threw stones, wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully treated.
Пак изпрати друг слуга, и те го замериха с камъни, нараниха го по главата и го отпратиха, както го и оскърбиха безсрамно.
And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some.
И изпрати друг, когато убиха, и мнозина други, от които едни биха, други убиха.
So now we see here in verses 2-5 that the owner sent three different representatives. And all that he wanted was a portion of the harvest. Something that they had previously agreed upon. But in Matthew 23, verses 33-39, Jesus rebuked the religious leaders.
Исус смомреше религиозните водачи.
And he said that they have killed all the prophets.
И каза, че вие убихте всички пророци.
No exceptions.
Без изключение.
There are 16 Bible books in the Old Testament.
Има 16 книги в Стария Завет.
They were written by prophets.
Които са написани от пророци.
There were many other prophets.
Има и други пророци.
That never wrote a Bible book.
Които не написаха никаква книга.
Perhaps Elijah and Elisha are the most famous ones.
Знаете за Илия и Елия. Най-известните.
But there were plenty of prophets.
Имаше много пророци.
But not one of them were, you know, was really received.
Никой не беше приятен.
They were mistreated.
Те бяха подигравани.
They were ridiculed.
Те бяха подигравани.
And you know, they just drove them out of there.
Просто ги изхвърлиха.
Or killed them.
Те ги убиха.
None of them were was received or honored.
Никой не беше прият или беше почетен.
So then let's see okay, verses 6 to 8. Therefore, still having one son, his beloved, he also sent him to them, saying, "They will respect my son."
Имаше той още един възлюбен син. Него изпрати последен до тях, като казваше, ще почитат сина ми.
But those vine dressers said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours."
Но онези лозари казаха помежду си. Това е наследника, елате да го убием и наследството ще бъде наше.
So they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard.
И го хванаха и го убиха и го хвърлиха извън лозето.
So according to Roman law,
според римския закон,
if a farm was unclaimed or some piece of land was unclaimed,
ако парче земя не е била, никой не иска,
somebody could go there and claim it. So perhaps these lease owners thought that when the son showed up, it was probably a sign that the father was dead. So they said, okay, this is our chance. If we kill the son, we can claim the property. And this is what they did. They killed it. And it's interesting here that he was killed in the vineyard. And we know that Jesus was killed in Israel.
Знаете, че Исус беше убит в Израел.
In John 1:11,
в Йоан 1:11,
it says that he came to his own, but his own did not receive him.
Казва се, че той дойде при своите си, но своите не го приеха.
So the very nation that actually God did choose to bring about the Messiah.
Виждаме тук, че нацията, която Бог избра да доведе Месия,
they now rejected him.
Те просто го отхвърлиха.
And it's quite amazing.
А не е интересно да се види.
That in spite of so much light,
независимо, че имаха толкова много светлина,
their hearts can be so hardened.
Сърцата могат да бъдат толкова твърди.
And we know that not only did all the prophets get killed, but also Jesus himself was crucified. It was an unkind response. They had an unbelievable revelation. I have raised up this nation to be a blessing for the whole world. And now, when I come to inspect the fruit and have a portion of it, and I'm sending my representatives, they come in my name, they have this unkind response.
They
say, no, we don't want to have anything to do with this guy. You know, we kill them or drive them out. Even the son. So that brings us to the third point, which is which we find in verse 9. An unavoidable reaction.
Нещо, което не можеш да, да избегнеш.
An unavoidable reaction.
Реакция, която не можеш да избегнеш.
So let's read verse 9.
Нека да прочитам стих 9.
Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the vine dressers and give the vineyard to others.
И така, какво ще направи стопанинът на лозето? Ще дойде и ще погуби онези лозари, а лозето ще даде на други.
Having said all these things, Jesus warned them.
Исус ги предупреди.
He said, there will be consequences. You know, whatever decisions we make,
каквото решение да вземем,
there will be consequences.
Има последици.
And he said that the landowner, he will come with governmental authority. He will be backed up by Rome. And he will come and he will deal with these lease owners. And then he will put other people in their place. That will be the normal response. So, in other words, rejecting the Son is the same thing as rejecting the Father. I cannot say that I believe in God the Father, but I don't believe in Jesus the Son. Because the Son was sent by the Father. And I can't say the other, or you know, say the opposite either. Oh, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in God the Father. In 1 John 2:23, I believe it is. It actually says there that if you have the Son, you have the Father. There is no other way. We don't come to the Father unless we go through the Son. So God had given Israel a stewardship. They were responsible for many things. And one of those things, or the main thing we could say, was to be that light of the world. But instead of being that, they became exclusive. And they said, well, God is our God. He's not the God of the Gentiles. They even call the Gentiles dogs. If you do a study about the ministry of Jesus in the Bible,
ако изучавате служението на Исус в Библията,
the people that he healed,
хората, които той изцели,
the people that he performed miracles on,
хората, при които той изцели и извърши чудеса,
the people that he ministered to,
хората, на които послужи,
in most cases,
в повечето случаи,
they were not Jews.
Те не бяха евреи.
They were from somewhere else. Very mixed background. He came to the house of Israel because salvation comes through the Jews, the Bible says clearly in John 4. But at the same time, God, in the book of Romans, it says that God is not the God of the Jews only. But he is indeed the God of the Gentiles as well. So there was this stewardship, and they were supposed to produce fruit. But in Romans
10:19,
he says that I will give this stewardship to another nation. But then it says like, well, it's not really a nation. It's a nation made up by all other nations. Because the church is actually a mix of Jews and Gentiles. All those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of your background, regardless of your gender, regardless of your age, that, you know, we are all part of the church through faith. And it's nothing to do with a membership. Oh, I just became a member in this church. My name is now written somewhere. No, I become a member of God's church when I trust in Jesus as my Savior. So that nation, meaning the church, which is not really a nation, but in this context he's calling it a nation, they will take the place of Israel. And notice carefully what I say now. I've said it before. I am not teaching and preaching replacement theology. That the church has taken the role of Israel. God has two distinct plans. One for the nation of Israel and one for the church. They are not to be confused. But when it comes to spreading the truth in the world, God raised up Israel. But when they rejected their Savior, God temporarily set them apart and spread them around the world. And He gave that stewardship to the church. We are preaching the gospel, the good news about salvation. So this is important. If you don't believe it, read Romans 9, 10, and 11. It's a very complete outline of the church of the history of Israel. Chapter 9 deals with Israel in the past. Chapter 10 deals with Israel in the present. And chapter 11 speaks about Israel in the future. Exactly how God will deal with the nation. So there was an unavoidable reaction. The landowner came. He had governmental authority. Rome was behind him. And he replaced the workers. And he put new ones in there. Or he removed, rather, and put new ones in there. So that was the reaction. And that leads us to the fourth and last point for tonight. And I call that an unfortunate rejection. Yeah, an unfortunate rejection. This is verses 10 to 12. Have you not even read the scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hands on him, but feared the multitude, for they knew he had spoken the parable against them. So they left him and went away. Now Jesus is now shifting. He's talking about another, he's using another illustration. It's along the same lines. But he's talking about a building. And he's talking about builders. And he's also talking about a cornerstone. And the cornerstone was a stone that basically was put there like the first stone. And if it was put there properly, the rest of the building would be correct or good. But if something went wrong with the cornerstone, the whole house would be crooked. So the cornerstone was very, very important. And then of course you had the capstone. Capstone is like the last stone you put on. But now he's talking about the cornerstone. And if we go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse
20,
it says there that, or Jesus is there being identified as the chief cornerstone. So Jesus is the cornerstone. The builders are the same people that we spoke about earlier about the vineyard. The leaders in Israel. They were building something. They were building their religion. But they could not really be successful. Because they had rejected the cornerstone. And I don't know if you, I mean, if you meet Jews, and you do sometimes, and you speak to them, and they're believers. And you think like, wow, this is amazing. They read in Hebrew, you know, they understand the original language. They have the history. They have all these promises. You know, they, if any, would understand. But it seems like, you know, when they are trying to figure things out, with all their knowledge, it doesn't make sense to them. It's like having one of these jigsaw puzzles. You know, where 3,000 pieces. And you have 2,999 pieces in place. But right there in the middle, there is this big piece lacking. And then it's like you have some pieces there, you try to fit it in, but it just doesn't fit. And this is like how it is in my eyes when a Jew is trying to figure out salvation. They have all these other pieces in place, but they don't have Christ, because they rejected the cornerstone. And it says that if you do so, there cannot be any successful construction. And the stone that they rejected, speaking specifically about himself, he has now become the chief cornerstone. Nothing makes sense without Jesus. Doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. He is needed. And then it says here about these Pharisees that they understood that this parable had been spoken concerning them. And they walked away. And just in an illustration or conclusion here. In 1 Corinthians chapter
3,
verses 9 to
11,
it speaks about us being co-workers. That's quite a thing. That we are co-workers with Jesus Christ. And what is our task? What have we been placed here to do? Well, to preach the gospel.
Да проповядваме Евангелието.
To bring the good news to the people.
Да донесем добрата вест на хората.
And in doing so, we should not be exclusive.
И за да го правим това, не трябва да си мислим, че сме нещо специално.
And it's so easy, just like the Pharisees.
Както фарисеите.
They had their religious system.
Имаха тяхната религиозна система.
We can have a religious system.
Ние можем да имаме религиозна система.
In many Western countries.
Много западни страни.
Christianity has been around for a long time.
Християнството било много за дълго време.
And we have traditions.
Имаме традиции.
We have man-made systems.
Имаме човешко направени системи.
And it could very well be the work of the flesh.
И това може да бъде работа на плътта.
And you know, we are responsible.
Знаете, че ние сме отговорни.
We are workers.
Ние сме работници.
What do we do with the cornerstone?
Какво правим с ъгъла, с камъка?
Is he the foundation for what we do?
Фондацията ли?
There is no other foundation to build on.
Няма друго основа, на което да.
If you continue to read in 1 Corinthians 3,
ако продължиш после 1 Коринтияни 3,
the apostle Paul is talking about this thing.
Апостол Павел говори тези неща.
That we are now building something.
Че ние сега изграждаме нещо.
But we got to be careful how we build.
Трябва да си много внимателен как изграждаш.
And I'm thinking about this thing.
И си мисля за тези неща.
In our day.
В нашето време.
In Revelation chapter 2 and 3.
Откровение 2 и 3.
Seven churches are being addressed.
Седем църкви са.
It says, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. The first church was Ephesus. And actually, he said a lot of good things about Ephesus. They seem to have had good doctrine. They seem to have, good lives. But then it says there that I have one thing against you. You have lost your first love. And then in verse 5, chapter 2, he says that repent. Because if you don't, then I will come and remove the lampstand. Now, repent in the biblical sense means to change your mind. So, change your mind. Why do we stop loving Him? Because we don't let Him love us. Love cannot be produced. Not divine love. Yes, there is human love. But divine love can only be received. And we can only respond to it. And that's how we love the Lord. Oh, I really love the Lord. Well, come on. We love Him in 1 John 4 because He first loved us. That's the order. We receive and respond to His love. And therefore we love Him back. But I'm thinking about it, you know, these seven churches, they were all located in what is today Western Turkey.
Всички тези седем църкви бяха в днешно време Турция, Западна Турция.
Percentage-wise, there are less Christians in Turkey than any other nation in the world.
Като процент в Турция има по-малко християни, отколкото в която била държава.
This was an area where Christianity was thriving at this time.
Това беше area, област, в която християнството беше наистина.
And we think about Europe today.
Си мислим за Европа.
I mean, once we had the Reformation here, many places had revival, and there are more atheists, there are more of everything, except Christians. or Bible-believing Christians, I should say, there's a form of godliness. Oh yes. There are, you know, you read the statistics. 70% of Sweden is Christian. Wow! I wonder where these Christians are. But they, according to the statistics. But the lampstand can be removed. Israel was a vineyard. And they were to cultivate it. But when they closed themselves and became exclusive, God said, no, I'm not gonna go with that. I'm gonna give it to somebody else. I'm gonna have somebody else be raised up. The church. But we are in the same place. You know, we should be careful. We've been given an unbelievable revelation. We have been chosen by God to be His church, to be His body on this earth. And we will be the bride eventually. Let's not have an unkind response when the Holy Spirit comes and says, you know, I want something to happen in and through your life. Because there will be an unavoidable reaction. Not that God will reject us. He cannot. He will not. Once in Christ, always in Christ. But as far as rewards in all eternity, our reaction will make a big difference. And let's not have this unfortunate rejection and say that there is some other foundation that I can build on, not Christ and Him being the cornerstone. So it's a beautiful message. It was a message of judgment. But knowing God and His grace and His mercy, we also know that we can always turn to Him. And He was waiting and He was waiting. He sent prophet after prophet. He provided with them with everything, even His own Son. But they rejected Him too. And He said, okay, I have to teach you a lesson. I have to set you apart for 2,000 years. I have all the time in the world. I'm going to do it. Meanwhile, I raise up another group of people. They're not really a nation. And they will provoke you to jealousy. But it's not over. God will take His church home. And when He does, He's going to come back to Israel. It's me again. I'm not done with you. I have my plan. Remember me. You rejected me 2,000 years ago. But it's not over. So God never gives up. He's an amazing God. And we are like a vineyard. And what God is enjoying is fruit. Like Pastor Peter was sharing for the offering the other week here. That, you know, it's fruit. It's not about money or anything else. But God wants fruit. And He's expecting it. It's not something that salvation is dependent on. But it's expected. growth is expected. So this was the message that he had to the religious leaders of Israel. But in application, it's also a message for us. And we should take it seriously.
Yeah.
Lord, we thank you tonight.
Господи, благодарим ти.
We thank you for everything you've done.
Благодарим всичко, което сте направили.
And Lord, we think about this event that took place in the temple. What this conversation was like. They were challenging words. And it would be very easy for us to say, well, yeah, that was back then. I'm not a Jew. I'm not a Pharisee. This doesn't apply to me. But in application, it does. God has planted us in this world. And he comes and he says, is there any fruit? You're made to bear fruit. If you abide in me, in John 15, you will bear fruit. There will be no striving. You will just abide and it will happen. I'm the producer. You are the responder. So Lord, help us to be responders tonight. And bless these thoughts in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.